In this lecture, we're going to look at import licensing. Some products require an import license before they can be imported into the EU.
Licensing is a form of restriction, and currently licenses are needed in the areas of textiles and iron and steel originating in particular countries. Import licenses are regulated by the Department for Business, Innovation and Skills, or BIS for short, and these restrictions are regulated through the Open General Import License, or OGIL for short.
From the OGIL, an importer can see if there are any import restrictions pertaining to his goods.
As an illustration, imagine that we are importing textile products from China.
When we present our C88 import declaration, we may need to produce an import license. There are many reasons as to why an import license may be required. Let's look at some of them. Firstly, licenses are a form of protection for EU or UK industry. They're also used to implement international policies. They can be a way of ensuring that public health and safety is maintained. And finally, they provide statistics on the imported trends of sensitive goods. There are two main types of license. They are specific and surveillance licenses. Specific import licenses can take two forms. Firstly, those that are export-administered quota licenses. This means the exporting country allocates a quota to certain goods. A quota is simply a maximum number of goods that can be exported. They allocate this quota by the issue of export licenses to exporters from their country. Some of these licenses may be electronic as well as paper. The UK import license will only be granted on production of an export license. The other type of specific license is the import administered license. This is where no control is exercised by the exporting country at all, so exports may not be restricted to any maximum number. However, the EC might want to set a limit on the number of imports. If so, it will set a quota for the goods. These quotas usually come into effect at the start of each calendar year, and imports of products may only be allowed provided they are within this quota. Licenses can have a varying validity. Textile licenses are usually valid for 6 months, with 2 3-month extensions allowed on request. Therefore, the overall validity is 12 months. Other types of licenses may be valid for a calendar year. The other type of license is a surveillance license. Surveillance licenses are used when the EC wishes to monitor the levels of imports of particular products. Usually, they are product-specific and country-specific as well. This means it is only imports of certain products from certain countries that are affected. They generally have a limited period of validity, usually between 4 to 6 months. Some surveillance licenses are what we call double control, and this is similar to the export-administered quota licenses that we have just looked at, i.e., import licenses are issued against valid export licenses. Single surveillance licensing involves import licenses being issued after completion of an import license application. There are no requirements to be satisfied from the exporting country. So, how do we apply for our import license?
Application is made to BIS.
If you don't obtain one, then goods imported without a license are liable to seizure. In addition, the importer could be liable to other penalties, which we have already covered in the lecture on prohibitions, restrictions and penalties. Replay this lecture if you need to refresh your memory. How do we know if our goods are actually affected by licensing controls? Licensing is determined by the commodity code of the goods and the country of origin. You may want to remind yourself on how we classify our goods by looking at the classification lecture and also look at the anti-dumping duties lecture, which tells you how to establish the country of origin for your goods. Hopefully, you can begin to see how all of these lectures integrate together. The tariff is a good place to start to see whether your products are liable to licensing or not.
However, as the tariff is not always up to date, it is wise to confirm specific details with the BIS website, which is www.bis.gov.uk.
Here you'll find notices to importers which detail the products, countries of origin concerned, any quota limits, and how to apply for your license. The notices to importers replicate the official law that is contained in the official journals of the European communities.
In order to apply for our import license, we have to complete a paper application form called an ILBW.
At present, electronic forms are not acceptable as an original signature is needed on the form.
Only persons established in the community can apply for them.
You can actually see a copy of the import application form on the website.
The form asks for the following information: details on the applicant, the commodity code applicable to the goods being imported, the country of origin, and the quantity that is required. As these licenses are commodity code specific, it is important to ensure that the code being used for the imported goods is correct.
An electronic license will be issued if the goods are only being imported into the UK.
Where the goods are imported into other member states as well as the UK, a paper license will be issued.
So, how does licensing interact with the use of customs procedures such as IPR and customs warehousing? Well, if somebody is using IPR suspension, then as the likely destination of the products is outside the EU, an import license is not needed unless the goods are released to free circulation. Also, if you import your products to a customs warehouse, then on entry into the warehouse, the goods do not require an import license. As with IPR, the license does need to be presented when the goods are removed from the warehouse to free circulation.
This can be quite handy. We have just mentioned that licenses sometimes have quotas attached to them, which limit the maximum number of goods you can import. So imagine you are nearing the end of the calendar year and you have exhausted your maximum amount. Well, if your goods are in your customs warehouse, this is not a problem. The goods can be sat there until your new license is received the following year. So come January, you can release the goods to free circulation. This stops you having to pay expensive charges that you could otherwise incur if your goods are being stored at the port before awaiting clearance.
Another regime that can be used with licensing is Outward Processing Trade, or OPT for short. This regime allows manufacturers in the EC to take advantage of cheaper production costs abroad without them needing an import license to import the finished product. A person must be authorised to use OPT. For instance, on the screen you will see a map of the UK. Our UK manufacturer wants to have his cloth sewn into t-shirts outside the EU. So he sends his cloth to be made up into t-shirts, which are then re-imported into the UK. Through the use of OPT, the t-shirts can be re-imported without an import license. OPT is advantageous as it gives an importer additional quota limits to those under the normal licensing procedure. So far, we have looked at EC licensing requirements. However, the UK itself may have its own license requirements. These requirements fall under a variety of areas. To illustrate just some of these areas, the Firearms Act of 1968 ensures that restricted firearms can be imported only by appropriate people. License restrictions are also administered by the Chemical Weapons Convention National Authority, and this provides controls on the import of toxic chemicals. And finally, the Landmines Act of 1998 covers the imports of anti-personnel mines. To test what you've learnt in this lecture, you're going to have a go at a licensing crossword. On the screen before you, there is a crossword grid. Once you know the answer, type the word in the box using capital letters. Once you've completed all the clues, press Enter to reveal the answers.